Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guests and participants, and are not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises or the underwriters of this station.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich. How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see. If ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we. As we take, 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 take. Like a good mother, Mother Nature keeps giving, but her heart must be ready to break. She's being abused and overused by her children who choose to ignore. There's only so much that she can give before she can give no more. Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let me not greed lead the way. We poison the air, we poison the land, and we poison the water we drink. And we're the only known creatures in the whole universe with the ability to think. But we keep on thinking, happiness lies in how much we buy and sell. And more of paradise is lost, and only time will tell what will become of Mother Nature in the coming years. When we will have about 10 billion neighbors on this sphere, will our children's children wake up to the American dream? Or will it have become a nightmare beyond imagining? Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. Let me not greed lead the way. We use so much and waste so much. How much do we really need? And how long can a dream survive that seems to thrive on greed? A little pollution is so thick and dark and dense. It contaminates and poisons common good and common sense. Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes. Let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend. How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much and how much longer?
Hello and welcome to Dig This, Music with a Message. I'm your host, Craig Boyer, joined with Pamela Spoto. Hello there, Pamela.
Hello to you.
We have our engineer, Shane Houchins. Now, our goal is to entertain and enlighten you with music that is more than love tunes. This show is going to feature 9 to 10 songs with discussion in between. Now, the first song we heard was written by Bob Wickline, Let's Take Our Heads Out of the Sand. I believe we need to find a way to dig ourselves out of the quicksand of climate denial, human rights denial, and the social safety net hole we find ourselves in. I'm convinced that there is enough money for health care, for education, and other social good if we stop letting the monetary and political power of our military-industrial complex control us to our own detriment and the detriment of our entire world. Indeed, as the song says, let need, not greed, lead the way. Today's theme is called The Imperial Way of the USA. And we'll begin with Lou Rawls' beautiful version of the Star-Spangled Banner and follow that up with Buffy St. Marie's song, My Country, 'Tis of Thy People. And we'll have a discussion of our nation's beginning at the end of those two songs.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and the bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs burn.
Across America's movie screens. Now that you're wondering, how can it be real that the ones you've called colorful, noble, and proud in your school propaganda, they starve in their splendor? You've asked for my comment, I simply will render. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Now that the longhouses breed superstition, you force us to send our toddlers away to your schools, where they're taught to despise their traditions, forbid them their languages, then further say that American history really began when Columbus set sail out of Europe, and stress that the nation of leeches that's conquered this land are the biggest and bravest and boldest and best, and yet where in your history books is the tale of the genocide basic to this country's birth, of the preachers who lied, how the Bill of Rights failed, how a nation of patriots returned to their earth, and where will it tell of the Liberty Bell as it rang with a thud over Kinzo mud, and a brave Uncle Sam in Alaska this year? My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Hear how the bargain was made for the West with her shivering children in 0 degrees. Blankets for your land, so the treaties is a test. Oh, well, blankets for land is a bargain indeed. And the blankets were those Uncle Sam had collected from smallpox disease, dying soldiers that day. And the tribes were wiped out and the history books censored. 100 years of your statesmen have felt it's better this way. Yet a few of the conquered have somehow survived. Their blood runs the redder, though genes have been paled. From the Grand Canyon's caverns to Craven's sad hills, the wounded, the losers, the robbed sing their tale. From Los Angeles County to upstate New York, the white nation fattens while others grow lean. Oh, the tricked and evicted, they know what I mean. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. The past, it just crumbled. The future just threatens. Our lifeblood shut up in your chemical tanks. And now here you come, bill of sale in your hand, and surprise in your eyes that we're lacking in thanks for the blessings of civilization you've brought us, the lessons you've taught us, the ruin you've brought us. Oh, see what our trust in America's bought us. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Now that the pride of the sires receives charity, now that we're harmless and safe behind laws, now that my life's to be known as your heritage, now that even the graves have been robbed, now that our own chosen way is a novelty, hands on our hearts, we salute you, your choke on your blue, white, and scarlet hypocrisy, pitying the blindness that you've never seen, that the eagles of war whose wings lent you glory, they were never no more than carrion crows, pushed the wrens from their nest, stole their eggs, change their story. The mockingbird sings it. It's all that she knows. Ah, what can I do? Say a powerless few with a lump in your throat and a tear in your eye. Can't you see that their poverty's profiting you? My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying.
Well, we're back, and we've heard two songs here, and the last one, My Country, 'tis of thy people you're dying, that illustrates how America was founded on the backs of the people that were here. My own wife, she's a member of the Karuk tribe, and her father was, of course, a Karuk, and he had to go to the government schools, and after he was released from the government schools, he never wanted anything to do with his Native American culture, and in fact, when he married my mother-in-law, she first thought that he was Italian. He was not proud of his heritage. So anyway, that's how our country began. Pamela, what do you have to say about all this?
Well, I'm breathing deeply because if I really listen to the words in these songs and I understand them, I don't know how I could be anything else but distressed and sad and thinking about the tragic history that, as several songs have mentioned so far, that this history is not taught in schools for the most part, except by someone like Howard Zinn, The People's History of the United States. Whole chunks of history. History is written by the winners.
True.
And it could be true or not true, you know, but it comes from the perspective of the winners, and publishing houses are run by people with money, and often in our culture that means a white male, and I'm not criticizing white men. That's a fact, you know, in terms of in our history, who had the power, who had the money, who could vote. It was a wealthy white man with property.
Mm-hmm. And that's, otherwise you couldn't vote.
And that's how history began. And if we want to start, and I do, I want to start with Bob Wickline's, you know, Taking Our Heads Out of the Sand. That's a wonderful rendition and piece of music that he created. And I truly believe we are addicted to greed. And this just doesn't happen. That means we have been pounded relentlessly through advertisers, through this is what works. You know, if we tell people this long enough, there's something wrong with them. But if they buy this product, they do this thing, then they're going to be sexy and attractive, and they're going to be happy. And people buy, shop, shop, shop. And we're one of the most heavily medicated countries in the world. So that is not the answer, but we are addicted to that, and we keep buying. And as we buy, we need more resources and more resources, and we expand and we expand, and we take and we take and we take, you know, from the earth. And as Bob Wickline says, how much can Mother Nature take from this taking of and not giving back? And then when we go into Lou Rawls, and I just want to touch on this just mm-hmm, for a moment, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. the whole notion of celebrating bombs bursting in air and rockets' red glare just blows my mind. And I understand the context of the song, but at the beginning of the Iraq War, that's exactly what happened on TV. It was shock and awe, look at those beautiful, you know, bursts of color. Well, people were suffering, I'm spitting, people were suffering and dying, and people are still suffering and dying.
As a result of that war.
As a result of that war. We have Libya. We overthrew the sovereign leader of Libya. Mm-hmm. We overthrew the sovereign leader of Iraq. Mm-hmm. We're in Afghanistan. We support the Saudis in Yemen, and it goes on and on. And in Yemen, we don't even hear about it on the news. The latest I heard, 300 cases of cholera, 7 million people on the verge of starvation. This is awful.
That's what we've wrought.
That
is what we've wrought with our imperialism and our trying to control the world.
And with this unstable situation in the Middle East, that means that we have a little more control to go in and take more resources. And, you know, books have been written about this. Scholars have written on this. I mean, in terms of the U.S. economy runs on the war machine economy.
People don't realize that.
They don't realize that. And they go, oh, no, there's not enough money for health care, as you mentioned. Oh, my goodness, there's not enough money for education. What do you mean pay for your own education? We pay for war over and over and over again, and the suffering of people. And we are bombarded by this state of fear. Mm-hmm. So I have to stop talking because I just I get so distraught about that. And, you know, the song Buffy St. Marie, song is really, really interesting. And you mentioned this too. The United States was built on the backs of people of color.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those plantations would not have been these huge plantations and worth, mm-hmm. you know, so much money without free labor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I could do very well in our society today if I had a lot of free labor. I didn't have to pay them, mm-hmm, and maybe provide mm-hmm. two shirts a year. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be? And if an enslaved person tries to run away, well, we have all these laws, you know, and mm-hmm. we can beat them and make examples out of them. So the genocide with the Native Americans, the enslaved black people, the Mexicans that have come into the country to work in the fields, people of color have really done a lot. And the Chinese, of mm-hmm, course, mm-hmm, many, mm-hmm, many different mm-hmm. groups of people. And so I really think we need to learn our history.
Take our heads out of the sand.
Take our heads out of the sand.
And start learning from our history and try to do differently than that.
And if we want peace, we don't put billions of dollars into the war machine. We put our attention and energy and focus.
That Michael Fronte quote right there, would you read that?
Michael Fronte. I love Michael Fronte. He says, addicted to war makes one perfectly clear that we can bomb the world to pieces, but we can't bomb it into peace.
No truer statement has ever been made. Well, thank you so much, and I agree with what you've just said. Now, our next message song is There Anybody Here? It's by Phil Oakes, and it asks, is there anyone here who believes that following orders takes away the blame and that it's not murder by another name in war? So we'll go to Is There Anybody Here?
Is there anybody here who'd like to change his clothes into a uniform? Is there anybody here who thinks they're only serving on a raging storm? Is there anybody here with glory in their eyes, loyal to the end, whose duty is to die? I want to see him, I want to wish him luck, I want to shake his hand, want to call his name, put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here who'd like to wrap the flag around an early grave? Is there anybody here who thinks they're standing tall around a battle wave? Is there anybody here who'd like to do his part, a soldier to the world and a hero to his heart? I want to see him, I want to wish him luck, I want to shake his hand, want to call his name, put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here proud of the parade, who'd like to give a cheer and show they're not afraid? I'd like to ask him what he's trying to defend. I'd like to ask him what he thinks he's gonna win. Is there anybody here who thinks that following the orders takes away the blame? Is there anybody here who wouldn't mind a murder by another name? Is there anybody here whose pride is on the line, with the honor of the brave and the courage of the blind? I want to see him, I want to wish him luck, I want to shake his hand, want to call his name, put a medal on the man. Is there anybody here so proud of the parade, who'd like to give a cheer and show they're not afraid? I'd like to ask him what he's trying to defend. I'd like to ask him what he thinks he's gonna win. Is there anybody here who thinks that following the orders takes away the blame? Is there anybody here who wouldn't mind a murder by another name? Is there anybody here whose pride is on the line, with the honor of the brave and the courage of the blind? I want to see him, I want to wish him luck, I want to shake his hand, gonna call his name, put a medal on the man, medal on the man.
Well, that we just finished with that, but I want to let you know that you are listening to Dig This, Music with a Message, on KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Well, Pamela, had you heard that song before?
I hadn't heard that song before.
Yeah. What did you think of that one?
Well, it's interesting how the lyrics in these various songs just kind of connect with other things that come up in my mind at that time, or other things come up in my mind as I'm listening to the lyrics. And I was thinking about the Nuremberg trials. Now, and in terms of prosecuting Nazis, for their role in killing, you know, and burning and doing all the evil deeds that they did do to various people. And that was the idea of that, the Nuremberg trials, was you have to have a conscience. Wasn't that part of it? That mm-hmm. if you believe an order is illegal, that you don't do it. You don't follow it just because you're told to do it.
You still are to blame.
You are still to blame.
And it's still murder.
And so then from there I go to, what about Chelsea Manning? You know, in our country, that, you know, she at that time said, this is, you know, I need to have some documentation here for what is going on. And at that time, he went up to his superior officer and they, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So eventually, Chelsea Manning took the information that she needed to take.
The proof.
And the same thing with Edward Snowden. And so whistleblowers, on one hand, were saying we're going to protect them, but in reality now, especially now, the whistleblowers get really, they are sent to prison, they are put in solitary confinement. If Edward Snowden were to come back to the U.S., he would be in a lot of trouble. So what about this whole notion of, if the orders are wrong and it goes against your conscience, you should do something else, or you are still held accountable. Just say, well, I was just following orders, you know. I shot that person because I was just, I don't know, I was standing my ground and I can do that, or whatever the case may be. It's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Right. Yes, indeed. So that's, is there anybody here? Not in this studio. Okay. Now, our next two songs will be Santo Domingo. And again, that's by Phil Oakes. And we'll follow that with El Salvador by Peter, Paul, and Mary. Now, as the Christian Science Monitor pointed out, that since 1954, the United States has removed, usually with violence, at least 18 leaders of other nations. Also, it's been reported many times that we have more than 700 locations around the world where we have our troops, while many of our citizens remain homeless and are without health care. I contend we could have a bang-up military at half the size. All right, Santo Domingo, followed by El Salvador.
There's been a drastic change in American foreign policy in recent months. Take the Dominican Republic, which we did a little... A little while ago, killing a few people here and there, mostly there, saving the day for freedom and democracy in the Western Hemisphere once again, folks. I was over there in the Dominican Republic entertaining the troops. I won't say which troops. Over there with a USO group, including Walter Lippmann and Soupy Sales. I played there in a small coffee house called The Sniper. And this was my most unpopular song, with the poetic symbolic title of "The Marines Have Landed on the Shores of Santo Domingo." And the crabs are crazy, they scuttle back and forth, the sand is burning, and the fish take flight and scatter from the side, their courses turning, as the seagulls rest on the cold cannon nest, the sea is churning. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. The fishermen sweat, they're pausing at their nets, the days of burning, as the warships sway and thunder in the bay loud in the morning. But the boy on the shore is throwing pebbles no more, he runs a warning that the Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. The streets are still, there's silence in the hills, the town is sleeping, And the farmers yawn, and the gray silver dawn, the fields they're keeping. As the first troops land and step into the sand, the flags are waving. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. The unsmiling sun is shining down upon the singing soldiers. In the cloud dust world, they whistle at the girls, they're getting bolder. Ah, the old women sigh, think of memories gone by, they shrug their shoulders. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. Ready for the tricks, their bayonets are fixed, now they are rolling. And the tanks make tracks past the trembling shacks where fear's unfolding. All the young wives afraid turn their backs to the parade with babes they're holding. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. A bullet cracks the sound, the army hits the ground, the sniper's calling. So they open up their guns, 1,000 to 1, no sense in stalling. He clutches at his head and totters on the edge, look now he's falling. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. In the red plaza square, the crowds come to stare, the heat is leaning. And the eyes of the dead are turning every head to the widow screaming. But the soldiers make a bid, giving candy to the kids, their teeth are gleaming. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. Up and down the coast, the generals drink a toast, the wheel is spinning. And the cowards and the whores are peeking through the doors to see who's winning. But the traitors will pretend that it's getting near the end when it's beginning. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo. And the crabs are crazy, they scuttle back and forth, the sand is burning. And the fish take flight and scatter from the side, their course is turning. As the seagulls rest on the cold cannon nest, the sea is churning. The Marines have landed on the shores of Santo Domingo.
There's a sunny little country south of Mexico, where the winds are gentle and the waters blue. But breezes aren't the only things that blow in El Salvador. If you took the little lady for a moonlight drive, odds are still good you'd come back alive. But everyone is innocent until they arrive in El Salvador. If the rebels take a bus on the Grand Highway, the government destroys a village miles away. The man on the rail says, now we'll play south of the border. And in the morning the natives say, we're happy you have lived another.
television crew here from ABC, filming real empire refugees, calling murdered children the tragedy of El Salvador. Before the government camera 20 feet away, another man is asking for continued aid, food and medicine and hand grenades for El Salvador. There's a thump, a rumble in the building sway. A soldier fires the acid spray. The public address system starts to play south of the border. You run for cover and hide your eyes. You hear the screams for paradise. They've fallen further than you realize. And El Salvador. La 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 la. Just like Poland is protected by her Russian friends, Hunter is assisted by Americans. And if $60 million seems too much to spend in El Salvador, they say for $500 million they could do it right. Bomb all day and burn all night until there's not a living thing upright in El Salvador. They'll continue training troops in the USA and watch the nuns that got away and teach the military bands to play south of the border and kill the people to set them free who put this price on their liberty. Don't you think it's time to leave El Salvador. Well,
we kind of lived through that too, El Salvador and what happened over there, and killing of Archbishop Oscar Romero and killing of the nuns and so forth. And of course, Santo Domingo, I was fairly young, but I do recall that as well. So, Pamela, what are your thoughts on what you just heard?
I just get sadder and sadder because this is a choice. Mm-hmm, you know, it is a choice. The government has choices, and it's a choice, as Peter, Paul, and Mary were saying, to we kill the people to set them free. Or if we just got a little more money, we could bomb all night, we could bomb all day and burn all night, you know, and then we're just going to eradicate all those things that we allegedly don't like or that don't allow us to do certain things, or within a country, a people, a native population, or whoever it is that's against the particular dictatorial government that are, you know, trying to rise up. But if we are friends, if the U.S. is friends with that dictatorial government,
it's okay.
Then it's okay. And Saudi Arabia is a great example of this today. Saudi Arabia is not a democracy. It is not a democracy. But it's one of our largest allies, and so we support them with weapons. We could make choices, too, in the world of what we give people, what we give countries. But the weapons industry is such a huge industry. They make so much money. You know, in a way, it all comes back to the money, and that is what is so incredibly sad about this. So we can arm both sides. You know, we'll arm Iraq, we'll arm Iran. And so the weapons industry makes a tremendous amount of money. And unfortunately, the people do die, the people do suffer. And I know a person, a colleague of mine, who was in El Salvador, and it was really interesting for the stories that he had to tell. And what the U.S. media reports was not what was happening on the ground. Of course, it's a different picture, and it's a different focus. So, and I also wanted to say, there's a documentary, it's called Ground Truth. And it's the narrator is a Marine, and it had to do with the Iraq War. And he was saying, well, if they're walking down a street in Iraq and they're taking fire from, and because Phil Oaks had been singing about, you know, the sniper, the one sniper, and everybody opens fire on the sniper, right?
Right.
So in Ground Truth, this young Marine they're walking down the street and they take fire from a block. And so what they do is they blow up the entire block. And he said, we don't take fire anymore. But the he said, but we didn't see, well, we saw, but we don't see the woman in the blue dress, the pregnant woman in the blue dress that's holding the hand of a child. We just stopped taking fire. And so the Marine said, the best thing that we can do is to tell the truth, to tell the truth of what is happening. And this young man had just a tremendous amount of PTSD in terms of what he saw, what he lived through. And it's a really fantastic a documentary. And both, you know, the words in both of these songs from, you know, the farm in you know, the Dominican Republic or Santo Domingo, the farmers are in the fields and slowly the fear is unfolding. And it's the same thing that happens in Iraq. In Afghanistan, you have the grandmother in her garden and a drone has gone awry and blows up grandma. You know, we are not winning friends and influencing people
We aren't winning hearts and minds.
No.
And that's what it really comes down to. You can bomb and kill people all you like, but it doesn't create any peace in the world. It just makes it worse and worse and worse. And it's time we learn that that's not the way to bring peace. Or realize that what we're doing also, the propaganda you talk about, is the propaganda of war and military procurements. And that's where it, where we're going wrong.
And it wasn't always like this. I mean, in terms of, a propaganda campaign had to come together in order, for example, for us to be consumers rather than citizens. Buy. A propaganda campaign came from all sides because in the United States at the early of in the 1900s, because women and mothers and fathers didn't want to let their children just go off to war. So it was like, you know, fear and be patriotic. It was just hammered and hammered and hammered until we believe that these kinds of propaganda stories. And we can change that. But it's so hard because there's so much money involved.
Absolutely right. Well, our next two songs, I want to let you know that you are listening to Dig This, Music with a Message on KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. Our next two message songs are We Are the Cops of the World by Phil Oakes, and followed by A Little Cog by singer-songwriter Emily Yates of Oakland. Now, I want to preface this with We Are the Cops of the World is very hard-hitting, and you'll realize that as you hear this, but it's a lot more true than we are willing to admit, and usually things like the My Lai Massacre and so on and so forth. Those are things that rarely they come out, but there's so much more going on behind the scenes that we don't even hear about. So We Are the Cops of the World, followed by A Little Cog.
Come get out of the way, boys. Quick, get out of the way. You'd better watch what you say, boys. Better watch what you say. We've rammed in your harbor and tied to your port, and our pistols are hungry and our tempers are short. So bring your daughters around to the fore, 'cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. We pick and choose as we please, boys. Pick and choose as we please. You'd best get down on your knees, boys. Best get down on your knees. We're hairy and horny and ready to shack, and we don't care if you're yellow or black. Just take off your clothes and lay down on your back. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. Our boots are needing a shine, boys. Boots are needing a shine. But our Coca-Cola is fine, boys. Coca-Cola is fine. We've got to protect all our citizens fair, so we'll send a battalion for everyone there, and maybe we'll leave in a couple of years. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. and dump the reds in a pile, boy. Dump the reds in a pile. You'd better wipe off that smile, boy. Better wipe off that smile. We'll spit through the streets of the cities we wreck, and we'll find you a leader that you can elect. Those treaties we signed were a pain in the neck. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And clean the Johns with a rag, boys. Clean the Johns with a rag. If you like, you can use your flag, boys. If you like, you can use your flag. We've got too much money, we're looking for toys. And guns will be guns, and boys will be boys. But we'll gladly pay for all we destroy. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. Please stay off of the grass, boys. Please stay off of the grass. Here's a kick in the ass, boys. Here's a kick in the ass. We'll smash down your doors. We don't bother to knock. We've done it before, so why all the shock? We're the biggest and the toughest kids on the block. And we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world. And when we butchered your sons, boys, when we butchered your sons, have a stick of our gum, boys. Have a stick of our bubble gum. We own half the world, oh say can you see? And the name for our profits is democracy. So like it or not, you will have to be free. 'Cause we're the cops of the world, boys. We're the cops of the world.
Well, we'll not have time for the little cog in the wheel there. I wish we did, but I want to make sure that we do Not in My Name and a little discussion about what we just heard. You see, I was dating a gal when I was about 18 years old, and I was totally against the war in Vietnam, and I was a conscientious objector, and so I did not go. But I was dating a gal whose brother had just come back from Vietnam. And she was telling me with delight in her voice about her brother's experience over in Vietnam. And she said that he'd had a great time, and that he and his buddies had had a sexual relationship with some prostitutes in a hooch. And then afterwards, they thought it was funny to secure them in there and then set the hooch on fire and listen as they scream to death. There's so many things like that that went on that we don't even know about. Obviously, I'm not with that person, and we certainly broke up. But this is what we have been like, and it's war is not necessary in most cases. I think there may have been one war that I could even justify. Otherwise, it's just a travesty. Anything quickly that you can say about what we've just heard?
No, because it just rips my heart to pieces. And we know that these things happen, and I can't say anything right now.
I totally understand. Okay, this next song is very powerful by John McCutcheon, and it's called Not in My Name, and this is very much how I feel about it.
the plane in the distance. See the flame in the sky. See the young ones running for cover. The old ones wondering why. They tell us that the world is a dangerous place. We live in a terrible time. But in Hiroshima, New York, or in Baghdad, it's the innocent who die for the crime. Not in my name. Not in my name. Not in my name. Not in my name. Witnesses watch through the window, their hearts locked in horror and pain, at the man lying strapped to a gurney as the poison is pumped through his veins. And I'm wondering, who are the prisoners? Who holds the lock and the key? Who has the power over life, over death? When will we finally be free? Not in my name. Not in my name. All your holy wars, your jihads, your crusades. I have been used as inspiration. I've been used as an excuse for the murder and the misery you made. I thought I made it clear in the Bible, in the Torah, and in the Koran. What is it in my teaching about loving your enemies that you people don't understand? Not in my name. Not in my.
I think that says it all from our standpoint, Pamela. Not in our name. No.
And I think, too, what is important as I was listening to all of this, because I just got sadder and sadder and sadder until I just get angry and angrier and angrier, that it's important to hear these words, and it's important to hear these songs. It's important to visualize what these songwriters are talking about, because on one hand, you know, corporate media kind of presents war as a sanitized version of what is happening.
And patriotism.
And patriotism.
And hides behind that.
The same way. And so we don't get this message on corporate media. And if we want to do anything to bring attention to the suffering and the death around the world, we have to look at our role in it. And people don't want to look at themselves. They want to point, scapegoat, and blame. And that's not going to change anything. It's just going to perpetuate the hate, the fear, the death, the suffering. And you're right, not in my name.
Mm-hmm. We've got maybe a few more minutes to listen to a little bit of Buffy St. Marie's Universal Soldier, one of my favorites. So we'll do that right now. And I got to go on, be on. Let's see. Yeah, here we go.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all 31 and he's only 70. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist, and a Baptist, and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the walls. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon to the war, and without him, all his killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame, but his orders come from far away no more. They come from him and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put an end to war.
Okay, listeners, you've been listening to KKRN 88.5 FM, and we want to thank you for listening and supporting this station with your tax-deductible donations. We're able to bring you radio not available elsewhere, and we thank you for your ears and your donations. Again, thanks for listening and supporting KKRN Community Radio, and thanks to Shane Houchins, our fine engineer. Next week, it will be Environmental Watch with host Pamela Spoto, so do tune in Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you.